We're following the impeachment hearing on Capitol Hill, the release of the Inspector General's report on the origins of the Russia investigation, and it was a busy weekend in the 2020 presidential race. So who are you going to call? Rick Klein, political director at ABC. Rick, thank you so much for giving us some of your time.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Well, and take a look with us. Let's start with the impeachment. Today was about lawyers laying out the case for or against impeachment, sifting through the testimony from the hearings, and then taking questions from lawmakers to make their case and craft the articles of impeachment, which will then be voted on. So a big question going in, how much of President Trump's detailed obstruction of justice in the Mueller report on the Russia investigation might be a part of these articles of impeachment having to do with Ukraine. What do you think after watching today?
Well, today was basically a greatest hits, a recap of some of the evidence that's already been presented. And it, I don't think it furthered the conversation the Democrats are having amongst themselves, which is essentially how broad to make this. They have innumerable items that they might want to include in impeachment articles, but they haven't decided how many to include, whether all of them need to be supported ultimately by all of the Democrats or most of the Democrats or approved on the House floor ultimately. They have some real decisions to make in the coming days. And I think this is kind of wheeling them into action with the testimony that we're hearing today. It's mostly to just remind the American people, remind members of Congress what has been laid out. They still have to make the tough choices.
Well, it is that when the people are actually getting to testify. But there's also been just, a raucous, contentious back and forth on procedure, you know, people yelling at each other. Anybody who was in, their high school government class who, tried to be on any of these committees knows what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to speak out of turn. We heard that over the weekend, the chair, Gerald Nadler, actually rehearsed how to push back against Republican procedural requests. Who's making points here?
Well, the procedural requests are a strategy. And essentially, Republicans are trying to delegitimize the entire process. Say, look, this is a sham. And partly saying that their voice isn't being heard. So they're objecting over and over. They're trying to grind it out, to slow it down. And I'll tell you, in conversation with Democrats, I think it's having some impact on how Democrats are approaching these hearings. They would like this to be a sober discussion, all about the stakes for the American people. These are weighty matters at hand, but they are being sidelined a bit by these procedural arguments and whole kinds of arguments about whether you can go to recess and when, what a point of order properly is, and whether you should be able to grant another hearing and additional witnesses. Those are just distractions, but I'll tell you, they're strategic distractions on the part of Republicans who are basically, rather than playing along on this and having the White House participate with witnesses or even offering an alternate set of facts, they're saying, look, this is not even something that is appropriate to be happening in Congress.
Yeah, but who's going to, again, it is about who wins. This is political. And, the images of these congressmen, yelling and going out of order and overriding Nadler's gavel might look to their base to be, as you said, just dismissing the process, but they also might look undignified.
That's right. And there's risk in that. Of course, there's also risk in the Democrats pursuing something if they're not moving the American public. And I'll tell you, there's a growing sense among Democrats that the argument has stalled, that yes, you've got more than two-thirds of Americans who think the president did something pretty wrong, but barely half, if half, will say he should be impeached and removed from office. And that really hasn't budged in the polling that we've seen in recent weeks. Yeah. That's problematic for the Democrats, who recognize this has to be bipartisan if it's going to be successful. Right now, they're condemned in their minds to pursuing something that ultimately will fall short, will not gain conviction in the Senate. And in a sense, it just play acts the last couple of weeks when we know how the end of the movie is going to turn out. So I feel like it's a bit of a danger for Democrats to essentially be moving sideways in these hearings, to drift through without knowing that there's an end game that supports their theory of the case.
The Democrats are saying that President Trump put himself before country in asking a foreign country repeatedly to interfere in the U.S. elections, and different countries too. Russia and China have been mentioned. But the ranking Republican, Doug Collins, has come up with a label for this impeachment effort. Let's listen.
There have been famous moments in impeachment as we've gone forward. There are famous lines from Nixon, like, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the Clinton impeachment, there was, I did not have sex with that woman. What would be known about this one is probably, where's the impeachable offense? Why are we here? I tell you, this may be, though, become known as the focus group impeachment.
Well, and you know, that launched a Twitter frenzy. I'm looking at people who are coming up with lines for this current impeachment inquiry. Lines like, talk to Rudy, everybody was in the loop. I want you to do us a favor, though. I mean, do you think the Republicans are miscalculating in saying there's nothing to see here?
Look, where you stand depends on where you sit in these political arguments. And right now, the Republicans are gaining nourishment and encouragement from their base. And there's not much beyond that. And again, that difference between the 70% of the country that thinks something was done wrong and the 50% that think the president should be impeached and removed, that's significant. That's one in five Americans who need to be convinced that this is actually a removable offense. And the Republican calculation to essentially demonize the whole effort or delegitimize the effort, I think it is having an impact. And I think it leaves the Democrats in a position where they're the ones that have to make the case. The president isn't going to impeach and remove himself. Republicans aren't going to make it easier for them. Ultimately, will voters reward or punish people based on this? Yeah. A lot of things are going to happen over the next 11 months. Impeachment may not be the top 10 list for a lot of voters based on how news cycles work these days, but that is the Republican play right now.
We have to mention also today, the Department of Justice Inspector General report is out on the Russia investigation. Now, this is the independent internal watchdog, and they conclude there was no bias in the launching of the Russia probe, no spying on the Trump campaign, a claim that the Trump campaign had made. They did note serious performance failures, sloppy work by the FBI in looking for a warrant on a former Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page. But, you know, overall, no spying, no bias. But Attorney General Barr is already out disputing the conclusions. If, in fact, he does what he did with the Mueller report, which was dismiss it, does this have any impact?
Well, I think it just further erodes the trust in institutions. It's pretty astonishing to have the Attorney General, who of course heads the FBI, say, actually, I know you're saying that it wasn't that big a deal, but I think it was a big deal, and I disagree with some of these things. And I think, look, there's a kernel in this of, yes, the investigation was properly launched, according to the Inspector General. But yes, mistakes were made once the investigation began. That's how you can jump on this. Clearly, this is not the bashing of the Comey Justice Department or the Comey FBI that President Trump has long promised. But there are some missteps in here that have been identified. Mm-hmm. I think it seems to me like the Department of Justice now is trying to undermine any of the potential power of these conclusions. They don't want to get on the wrong side of the president. We've seen what's happened when attorney generals have done that under President Trump in the past.
Yeah. 2020, Joe Biden spoke with NPR's Rachel Martin and denied that he was warned that it looked bad for his son Hunter to be on the board of that Ukrainian energy company. While Biden was vice president and the point person for cleaning up corruption in Ukraine. Here's some of that conversation.
There were former White House aides of yours who tried to warn you about the potential conflicts of interest.
Nobody warned me about a potential conflict of interest. Nobody warned me about that. And at the same time, this
George
was
Kent, the State Department official, testified that he raised it to you.
No,
and
he didn't
staff,
say
to your
me.
Staff.
He did not
to your
say,
staff. I
never,
stand corrected.
Never heard that once.
Look, then there was that run-in that Biden had with the farmer in Iowa. The farmer claimed falsely that Biden sent his son to that company, and Biden responded with, "You're lying." Why can't Joe Biden say, "You know, I'm glad you're mentioning this because it's not true. My son Hunter taking that job was bad optics. It was reported on at the time. But not only did I not protect him, I was trying to get a corrupt prosecutor to investigate more, not less." Why? Go ahead.
It was a powerful interview that Rachel conducted, and I think it was a powerful moment from the vice president. And you see just a raw anger that comes out of Joe Biden when he's asked about these issues. And maybe given the context of the time, it's all understandable. I've talked to Biden aides who can argue the case either way, that on one level, this is not how you should be acting when you're questioned on issues that are going to come up in the news, the telling off a voter like that, calling him a liar, probably isn't a way to win votes ultimately. The other side says, look, we're in the Trump era, and you want someone who's going to get tough, and you want something that's going to get real. And he alluded to this in the interview with Rachel. You want to be genuine in your interactions with voters and with reporters. And on that level, maybe it's a good thing that Joe Biden is flashing some anger.
Yeah. Pete Buttigieg, I think, didn't have a very good weekend. I mean, I'd love your read on it. He sparred with Elizabeth Warren over the transparency of their fundraising. And then there's his work at McKinsey. This is the huge company that consults for corporations and governments. And in ways many Democratic voters might find disturbing, like, for instance, advising the U.S. to cut food for migrants on the border. And in an event last week, the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, urged Buttigieg to claim the moral high ground and break a non-disclosure agreement that he says is keeping him from talking about his work at McKinsey. Let's listen.
I am asking my former employer to do the right thing, to not make me choose between claiming the moral high ground and going back on my word.
Yeah, but they're not going to, right? And NDAs are courts across the land have said that they're not enforceable. You should break the NDA.
I'm going to give them a chance to do the right thing, and then we'll take it from there.
Look, McKenzie was, I think, Buttigieg's only job before winning, you know, mayor of South Bend with maybe something like 8,000 votes. Is this underscoring a little of his greenness?
Well, I think it's a tough storyline for him. Yes, he was a pretty junior person at McKinsey, and some of the things that are more controversial have happened long since his tenure. He wasn't a decision-making place at the time. But look, he's got a target on his back now, and people like Elizabeth Warren are going to scrutinize his fundraising practices and his past, and he's going to have to be vetted in a way that he's never had before. That's what you get when you're a frontrunner.
Rick Klein, political director at ABC, taking a few minutes to go through everything that's going on. Rick, we always appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.